We're talking, this is our fifth teaching on the valley experiences of Jesus. We're talking about the temptations that Jesus faced in the wilderness. And really, what I believe the temptations, a good summary of the temptations, is they are an inverse of Luke 9:23, a scripture verse that we're very familiar with. When I say an inverse, it's living the exact way, opposite way that Jesus commanded. That's what Satan is tempting Jesus. And he would tempt us today. In Luke 9:23, you'll know this verse, but before I get there, you know, Jesus finally plainly tells his disciples what's going to happen to him. I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to be crucified. And he's telling disciples this, you know the story. Peter says, we're not going to let that happen. And what does he say to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. You're seeing things, you're processing things as man would through your flesh. And then he says, if you want to come after me, deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow me. And really what the enemy is tempting Jesus in the wilderness, and he tempts us even today, is to deny ourselves very little. To circumvent the cross as often as we can. And to ask Jesus to follow us rather than following him. And it's an age-old temptation. It's Genesis chapter 3 as well, where to be like God, the temptation of Eve and Adam. It's the opposite of what Jesus said in the prayer in Gethsemane. You remember what he said when he was struggling with the cross? Not my will, but your will be done. It's really the inverse of that. The temptation is to say, my will, not your will be done. And we're all tempted to do that. Luke chapter 4 will be there. And this is a really, if you study Jesus in the wilderness, it's kind of this mystical, miraculous battleground scene. I mean, you've got the presence, and in Mark's account, you've got the presence of wild beasts. Or Ben was sharing with me a little bit about flesh-eating beasts were there. Angels were there. Satan himself was there. Now, Satan is not omnipresent. So when someone says, I'm battling with Satan, surely they're speaking metaphorically, because I'd be thinking, wow, you must be pretty high profile. You know, but Satan is here, and it is certainly a scene that displays Christ's victory over everything. Christ's victory over Satan, Christ's victory in redemption of creation, that account in Mark of the wild beasts. It's Isaiah 11, the lion and the lamb and the child sticking his hand in the hole of the snake, where God brings creation back into order. And then eventually Jesus moves into his ministry of redeeming us. And this wilderness was certainly a ministry preparation. It was a launching point. Three temptations are recorded here. That's not exhaustive. All the texts point to Christ was tempted the entire 40 days that he was in the wilderness. And we're just going to spend just a moment looking at these temptations and applying them to ourselves. Let's look in chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returning from the Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Before I even get into the temptations, I love that. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. You know, I think sometimes we think somehow God has abandoned us or something is going wrong when we suffer or are tempted. And that's just not the case here. Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit. The presence of God brings the presence of his enemies. We ought to expect opposition individually and corporately. That should not shock us. Goes on to say he ate nothing those days, 40 days, and when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. He's begging the question there of why should the Son of God have to suffer in the wilderness in this way? Because the same thing he does to us, doesn't he? Why are you having to go through this? And what he's tempting, he says, don't deny yourself earthly food. That's what the enemy is. Don't deny yourself earthly food. And we know Jesus' response. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And then the Matthew's account goes on to say, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Father. The first temptation is to not deny ourselves. And I want us to be honest. Let's be real this morning. We don't like to deny ourselves anything. We really don't. Especially in American culture where everything is so accessible. We don't like to deny ourselves one meal to be with Jesus. We don't like to deny ourselves 1 hour of sleep to pray with him. We don't like to deny ourselves one day a week to worship him. And Jesus is saying to us, You cannot live by bread alone. And he set an example here, fasting, of drawing near to God and resisting the devil. And listen to me, he's offering us life. He's saying here, you can't live. You won't know what it means to be fully alive by living by bread alone. If you are not willing to consistently step aside, deny yourself, and be with me, and pray with me, and worship me, you will never know what it means to be fully alive. This is first step Christianity. This is the simple stuff. This is the book, the Eucharist, prayer, fellowship, all those ways that Jesus has given us to draw near to Him. One thing that I said last week, and I quote Fran in saying it so you can go get on to him, but I believe it's true. You and I are more responsible for the condition of our soul than God is. Because He's clearly given us the means of grace. He's given us this book. He's given us one another. He's given us Holy Eucharist. He's given us worship. And yet, many people don't get past this first step. You want to be full of life and full of the fruit of the Spirit? Those things are conditional. Salvation's not conditional. It's merited by what He did. But you read the Scriptures. Our effectiveness and our fruitfulness has to do with being with Jesus. This is first step Christianity. Jesus said, you can't be alive by living by bread alone. We've talked a lot about this. We've called it blocking and tackling, keeping the ember in the fire. We don't have much of a reserve tank. It doesn't take us long to get into our flesh. And we got to be reminded. We got to come back here. We got to be with Jesus. We got to pray with Him. We have to worship Him. And He's given us the opportunities to do this. Second temptation. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whom I will. If you will worship me, it will all be yours. Listen to this. This temptation was for Jesus to embrace something that would enable him to circumvent the way of the cross. Okay? He's been promised the kingdoms. Jesus has. But he knows that he has to go the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering, to the cross. And Satan is offering a quicker, easier, more convenient way. Circumvent the cross. The temptation was to find another way, something easier. Let me just talk about what this looks like in my own life, what this temptation looks like, and probably in yours as well. This is our temptation, what it looks like in our culture. We fill our lives mindlessly with everything the world has to offer. We fill our life, and I'm not talking about bad things. The enemy is not stupid. He's an angel of light. He's not going to come to us with stuff that's obviously bad, but he comes to us with stuff, and I believe, I know it's true in my own life, we stuff our lives and absorb everything the world has to offer. And in so doing, we leave very room for the most essential things. True? True with me. Everything. Let me just go through a list here. And don't get mad at me, because more than half these things are in my home. TV, DVR, Netflix, Dish, DirecTV, Cable, Xbox, Wii, Nintendo, Soccer, Choir, Football, Baseball, Ballet, iPhone, BlackBerry, Facebook, Blog, Posts, Art Class, Swimming, Basketball, Scouts, Guitar, Piano Lesson, Pets, on and on and on and on. Our lives are crammed full of stuff. Listen to me this morning. I'm not saying that stuff is bad or Jesus can't be in that stuff, but I think sometimes that stuff causes us to leave Him out. Let's be real. Let's be honest. We absorb so much stuff that we don't have margin left in our life to love and serve Him. And He comes to us and He says, worship at the foot of the cross. Take up your cross. And we have no room for the cross. We have no margin in our lives left to give, because our lives are so packed full. You know what Jesus calls this? Idolatry. We don't like that word, but that's what He says here. He goes on to say, you should not worship the Lord your God. You should worship the Lord your God, and Him alone shall you serve. Listen, what we worship is what we spend most of our time, resources, affections, and emotions on. Quite simply. Modern idolatry, my idolatry, is consuming and absorbing everything that comes my way. Mindlessly. We don't even question it at times. And my challenge to you and to me this morning is to begin to create margin in our life. Cut back, downsize, limit. Make some room to love and serve the Lord. What does it say to our children that we are much more dedicated to attending their activities than attending church? One is negotiable. The other's not. What does it say about us and what is it saying to them? Let's just be real. You fill in the blank. I'm a parent with little children, so this is my world. I'm just confessing it in front of you. You fill in the blank. In the margin that we have, we spend, according to the latest Gallup poll, we spend 97.5% of our income on ourselves. We give 2.5%. We spend what we make, and we spend more than we make and create debt. And there's not margin. We have to be intentional and prayerfully, you know, say, what can I limit? What can I cut out? What is absorbing my affections? Listen to this. Even the things we think we need dominate our thinking. And don't leave room for Christ. And let's just be honest. Let's begin just saying, I want to create some margin. Worship me alone. Create some margin. I see it all the time. People will come to Restoration Academy and they'll come to a luncheon or something, and God will grip their heart and they want to give, and they go back and they assess their life like this huge pie and they got about a sliver to give because they're so saturated and not with bad stuff. The temptation of the kingdoms of this world to Christ was not necessarily bad stuff. It was stuff. And we stuff our lives full and leave very little room to love and serve the Lord. Let's be mindful of that. Last temptation. And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. This is the temptation to abuse grace by doing what we want to do whenever we want to do it, to make life easier, to make it, to cope with it, make it more bearable, make it whatever it is, spectacular in this case. And what happens is we begin to ask God to follow us and we quit following him. We lay out our blessings. This is what I plan to do. Will you please come and bless it? That's not following Christ. Following Christ is simply following Christ. It's Robert Mayo beckoning me to go this way, and I'm saying, no, why don't you come to me? I'm in the Bible Belt. You know, I'm a believer. I want your blessing, but I don't necessarily want to dedicate my life to following you. And we abuse grace, and thank goodness for his loving kindness and great forbearance. His response was, you should not put the Lord your God to the test. Quit, I'm telling myself this, testing God by asking him to follow me wherever I want to go. Instead, follow him wherever he takes us, including wildernesses and valleys where none of us want to go. Jesus told his disciples, and he's telling us today, simple words, deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me. Quit withholding. Overcome the temptation to deny yourself very little. Overcome the temptation to fill our life with everything while denying the essential things. Overcome the temptation to ask him to follow us rather than following him. I pray these words would stay in your consciousness, that you and I cannot be fully alive on earthly food alone. Worship God alone. Quit trying to go it alone. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. Let us greet one another with God's peace as we get our baptism candidates ready.